Read Psalm 121 here together as we encourage ourselves in the things of the Lord for our corporate church-wide prayer time. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, the shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. It's a precious psalm, isn't it? And of course, just when you look at the psalm, what you want to remember or make some kind of notation here in your Bible is that in verses 1 and 2, you have the psalmist asking a question and answering it. The question is, where shall my help come from? And he answers it in verse 2. My help comes from where? The Lord. Okay, so this is the psalmist speaking, and he's lifting up his eyes to the mountain, and he's thinking to himself, where's my help going to come from? Well, my help comes from the Lord, the one that created the heavens and the earth. Then in verses 3 through 4, what does he do? Yeah, the Lord is the keeper, but he begins not instructing himself. He starts instructing who? You. He says, he will not allow, not my foot, your foot. He's talking to you. He's talking to the reader. This is the Lord talking to us. Okay? And so he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, your shade on your right hand. Verse 7, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He's going to keep your soul and your going out and your coming in. So he's asked this question. He's walking up to Jerusalem and he's looked up to the mountains. Perhaps he's thinking about the temple there in the very presence of God. And he says, all right, this is where my help comes from. And then perhaps he turns to those that are with him. I'm speculating. And says, the Lord is your help. This is a man of experience, isn't it? Okay. He's learned something and now he's teaching other people. And that's a good thing for us. Jesus says, what I tell you in your ear, shout from the housetops. We're supposed to be communicating what we learn about the Lord. And so what the psalmist says is my help, and that help comes in the form of guarding you, watch caring over you, keeping you. And that is seen in verse 3. He who keeps you, verse 4, he who keeps Israel, verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil, he will keep your soul, verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. From this time and forevermore. So he's our guardian, isn't he? He's the one that's taking watch over us. And here's the encouraging thing for us. He's not going to fail like our first father failed. Our first father was Adam, and he was supposed to keep and guard the garden. He didn't do it, did he? He failed. And of course, we walk away from that and say, you know, vain is the help of man. Okay, that's what, if our first father couldn't do it and he failed, and we're worse than he is, not better, right? He's the closest to the fountain. And so if he failed, then vain is the help of man. So we took a look at this. We looked at the Lord being our help. He's the source. He's the one that we go to. We don't look to human wisdom or self or materialistic things or appeal to our feelings or sensualities. Our help is sourced in the Lord. And sometimes it does take a cry to do that. And so he tells us in verse 4, behold, think about this. He who keeps Israel doesn't slumber or what? Sleep. And of course, you might say, as you read that, you might say to yourself, well, you know, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know what? The Lord, for hundreds of years, warned those people that the walls were falling down because of their sin. They put God in a position where he had no choice but to judge. And boy, I don't want to ever put the Lord in that kind of position. Do you? And so he doesn't slumber. He doesn't get drowsy. He doesn't nod off on the job. In my case, he's not distracted. Okay? He's not watching you, and then he says, oh, and then he watches her, and then he says, oh no, what's going on over here? Okay? He's focused, he's concentrated, his eye is always upon the righteous. And here's the other thing. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. It is impossible for him to fail. Verse 3. He will not allow your foot to what? He will not allow it. Now you may stumble. And you can have a hard fall. But he's not going to let your foot permanently fall. That isn't true for his children. And so, you know, Peter denied the Lord, didn't he? That was a huge stumble. But remember what we looked at. Our Lord has such a watch care that he's already praying for things that are going to happen hours from now. Hallelujah for that. And so what do we look at today? Well, we look at this. How far does his watch care extend? That's what the psalmist is going to tell us. Look at verse 5. Here's the first one. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Now let's think about this just for a second. Have you ever been out in Richmond on a humid day? You're having to be outside. Maybe you're walking somewhere. You plan this great, you know, trip for the family, and you get there and you find out it's 98 degrees and it's 70% humidity, and you're out there and there's no clouds, it's not partly cloudy, there's no shade, and the sun is just beating down on you. How does that feel? Yeah, it is oppressive, isn't it? Well, what the Lord tells us is this, that the Lord is the one that will provide relief in that oppressive day. That's what shade is, isn't it? So here you are, you're walking outside, and here's the sun coming down, you're kind of feeling sick, and you look around, here you are with your family, and you look around and say, there's a tree over there, let's go! And you go running over to the tree. Why are you going to the tree? Well, if you're the kids, they want to climb it. But for us, we're wanting to get underneath the what? The shade. And when we get under the shade, you say, much better. Now here's the fact of the matter. Is it still hot? Is the temperature still 98? It is, but the shade has provided you relief in the midst of it. And brethren, his watch care extends to us to this degree, that when the circumstances of life turn oppressive, and they will, he will be a shade to you. And the oppressiveness that is all around you, like the sun that is beating down on everybody else that's not under the shade of that tree, the oppressiveness that is beating down will not be to the same degree on you.
Why? Because the Lord, your keeper, will be like shade to you. Now, we got to acknowledge this, folks, that if I'm underneath, I'm using this analogy, right? If I'm underneath the tree and it's hot, I do get relief, don't I? But I'm still sweating. I still feel the heat and the circumstances of what's around me. Okay? He's not taking you out of the circumstance. He's only providing you relief in the midst of the circumstance so that your oppression isn't as great as those that he's not providing shade to. And brethren, I'm going to speak personally here. That is an aspect of our great God that I fail to acknowledge. Because I will sit there and talk about how oppressive and how weighty and what a burden and what all, you know, we use all these kinds of terms upon ourselves without acknowledging that yes, the heat is still there and the sweat is still there and the temperature is still 98 around me, but I've been given relief. It's not 72 degrees air conditioned. But it is relief in the midst of the oppression, and I don't acknowledge that that oppression is less for me than other people. Because you still think it's what? You still think it's hot, and you still think it's oppressive, and you're like, whew. Okay? But he's your shade. That's a tremendous guardian who will come over you and provide that shade in the midst of a crooked and perverse and oppressive world. Now let me just tell you where there isn't, should be, a measure of shade is right here. At our evening prayer services, at our services on midweek, on our equipping hour and the morning services, those ought to be times where we kind of come out of the oppressiveness of the world and we can sit down among brethren and say, it's just not as oppressive in here. Now, is the oppression still there? Yeah, your job's still there. Your problems are still there. Your financial woes, they're waiting for you at the house. They're all there, but there's a shade here and a comfort. So how far does his keeping extend? Well, it extends to this, relief in the heat of the day, in the oppression of the hour. Secondly, verse 6, the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. What's the extent of his watch care? 24 hours. Isn't that what day and night is? Okay, the sun is still out there. Okay, that's the oppression of the heat of the day. The moon is still out there in the middle of the night. But his protection is 24/7. Because he doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber and he doesn't take vacations. He's watching you. His eye is over you. You know, brethren, lost people hate that. They hate that God watches them. Because why? Why do lost people hate the fact or the acknowledgement that God is watching them? Yeah, they're wanting to sin. But like John 3 says, people of the light, we come to the light because we're excited that God is watching us. Because we need that. We need Him watching our every step, don't we? In the middle of the night when you're sleeping and hopefully you're unconscious to everything that's happening around you, the Lord's watching you. He's watching you. He's even watching which bug lands on your nose in the middle of the night that you have to swat away. He's watching. He's taking care of you. How long? 24/7. Is he taking care of us if we're in the hospital? He's taking care of us all the time. Verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. What is the extent of His watch care? Now think about this. There is not one single evil that can overturn His protection on you. Not one. Not any design of the devil, not any deceitfulness of his tricks, none of that. The Lord will keep us from how much evil? All evil. And of course, the ultimate evil is the grave. And are we protected there? Yes, He's watching over those bones that are dried up, and out of those bones will come a resurrected body. He's taking care of us. And folks, what He's taking care of isn't necessarily your cars or your houses or your forks or your knives or your dishes or your couch or your furniture or your files. What He's really taking care of is the most precious thing on earth, your soul. Now, we don't think our soul is the most precious thing on earth. If a fire came, we're thinking about grabbing photos and financial records and computers and, you know, whatever. But what you need to be keeping is your what? Your soul. And you know this verse. Jesus said, "What should a man profit? He gave the whole and he loses his." Your soul is more valuable than all the world could give. One, yours. How many is he keeping? Thousands. Tens of thousands. And that's the most important thing. It's the most important thing that you and I can work on. He will keep your soul. So what did Paul tell Timothy in 2 Timothy when he's approaching that final day when he's going to be taken out of that prison, escorted out of the city of Rome, lay his head on a block, the executioner is going to take the sword, cut off his head. What is Paul saying? "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to..." There you go. "What I have committed to him." What did Paul commit to him? His soul. And what did Jesus commit? "Father, into your hands I commit my..." Yeah. It was his soul. His spirit. That's the most important thing, isn't it? We're not very good keepers, but he is. And that's why when we come here in church, what we're trying to do is we're trying to improve our souls. Because that's the most important garden. Not the garden in the backyard, Walter. The garden in here. Do you know what's mostly neglected? The garden of your soul. I tell my wife this frequently. I'll be riding down the road and there's people biking or running and, you know, I'm heading to church on a Sunday morning. They're all out there working on their bodies. Looks so impressive, some of them. And I sit there and wonder, I wonder how their soul looks. And I dare say, because they're putting that emphasis on that which is decaying, their soul probably doesn't look good. So God's protection extends to our soul and it protects us from all forms of evil that would destroy you. He's watching over you. Lastly, verse 8. "The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." Do you know that the Lord's watch care extends over your whole range of activity? It's your going out. And you're what? And you're coming in. So when our brother gets in his car and he starts traveling to D.C., he goes out and And Kelly's hoping that the Lord's watch care is over him. Is it? And he comes in. The Lord is watching. He's caring the whole time that's there. When you go out and do your activities of the day, when you get up out of that bed, when you move from one room to another, as you deal with the affairs of life that God has brought to you, the Lord is keeping your foot and your soul from slipping. And here's kind of the most wonderful thing to me personally, is that last phrase. How long is he going to do this? He's going to do it from your now forever. Now think about that. Sometimes people ask me, well, what if I get up to heaven and I sin again? That's a great question, isn't it? Well, we're going to have his nature. We're going to be totally conformed to his image. Therefore, we won't be tempted with evil. Everything changes, right? But here's the point. Your foot's not going to slip in glory because God's not going to permit it. His protection does not cease the day you take your last breath. His guardianship over you is from now, whenever the now is. Right now it's 5:29. In just a minute it will be the 5:30 now. From now, forever. And so that means, brethren, that he is the protector over the calamities in our life. And he's watching over us the whole time. So, we're fixing to go to prayer. Where are we going to find our help? Our help comes from the Lord, the one who is omnipotent, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who sustains all things. And this one has got his eye on you, and he's got his eye on me, his people, his righteous ones. And he's not going to let our foot slip because he doesn't get drowsy like the false gods of this world that are never alive. And he's going to do it in the heat of the day. How's he going to do it? He's going to give you relief. He's going to take care of you 24/7. No calamity, no evil will ever destroy your soul. He will keep your soul. Just like he kept Peter's, I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And he will guard you wherever your feet take. If you get on a boat or a plane or a rocket and you go to the furthest ends of the universe, if you're on that little spacecraft and you end up in Pluto, he's there. He's watching. He's taking care of you. And the extent and the range of his activity is the extent and range of your activity. And it occurs from this point forever and ever and ever. Brethren, I don't know if you've ever felt what I have felt many, many times. There have been spiritual occasions where the warfare, both internal and external, has been to such a degree for my weak maturity that I wondered if I was going to make it. Can I go another hour, Lord, without denying your name? Without turning my back on you? And the echoes of heaven always come back to me. I will keep you. And my eyes open up in tears, thinking that he is watching over me. And what a mercy that is. And he is doing it forever. Remember what Spurgeon said? I mentioned it this morning. It's not your hold on Christ. It's His hold on you. We're to guard ourselves, John says. But why do we guard ourselves? Because He's guarding us. He is our keeper. And so we can go to Him in prayer with that great assurance that not only is He our keeper and our help, but He will answer our